This one. Okay, today's reading, John chapter 15 this morning. Please turn to John chapter 15 as we continue. Again, this is a discourse that only John shares. You will not find this in the other three Gospels. But John was there. He was at that Passover. He was also there when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And so this is that upper room discourse that Jesus had prior to going to the garden and prior to his arrest. We're going to pick up with verses 18 to 27, and we'll finish chapter 15. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. I was told by a pastor 50 years ago, if the world can wrap its arms around you and call you friend, if you claim to be a Christian, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Now, we're not advocating now that you go out and speak, you know, harsh. We're not advocating you call people names. But if you're going to be a Christian and you're simply going to live your life according to the scriptures, your light is going to bother some people. And the saltiness of your salt. Remember, Jesus says that you and I are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Well, if our salt isn't salty enough where it stings, then Jesus says your salt is only good to be thrown on the ground and to have people walk on it. Notice, if the world hate you, if you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, why the hatred? If you were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, there's your election, there's your predestination. Therefore the world hated you. So verse 19 tells you why the world will never love you. And we're talking friend, family, neighbor, co-worker, student, teacher, etc. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Notice the comparison in that verse 20. How does one demonstrate their hatred towards you and I? Well, they reject the words of Jesus. And how do I know that somebody is truly on my side of an issue when it comes to Scripture? Well, they are in agreement with the Scripture, not me. I can be false. I can be at odds. I can be at fault. But if somebody is in agreement with Scripture, and I can see the same thing and be in agreement with them, then we can love each other because we have that common ground. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Now remember the questions. To whom is Jesus talking to? He's not talking to you and I directly. He's talking to us, okay? I mean, he's talking about us, but he's talking directly to those men at that table. Because, but all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Notice that Jesus is saying that the Pharisees and the religious leaders were not Abraham's children, as I've been teaching and showing you from the scripture. Who is a true Jew? Circumcision of the heart, not of the body. Who is a true Jew? One who by faith in Christ is now called in Galatians a child of Abraham. Here Jesus is denying their biblical Jewishness in a biblical sense. If I had not come and spoken unto them, notice, they had not sinned. If Jesus never came, then these clowns that you call your spiritual leaders would not be guilty of or be charged of my murder, because I wouldn't be here. But now they have no cloak for their sin. I like that. The religious leaders had no bed sheet or no bedspread big enough and wide enough to cover their sin. He that hated me hated my Father also. Ooh. If I had not done among them the mighty works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. So if you hate Christ, you inadvertently hate the Father. And if you deny and you hate the Father, you inadvertently must do it to the Son. Notice that connection. They cannot be separated. Okay? Verse 25. But this has come to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law: they hated me without a cause. For those of you who don't know, that's Psalm 69, verse 4. And those were the words of David. And notice, Jesus ascribes David's words about himself, David, to Jesus himself. That's the lesser Jesus, or the lesser David. Jesus is the greater David. Notice, they hated me without a cause. Jesus applies that to himself at that present hour. And yet it was David's words 1,000 years earlier. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now look at that verse 27 as you take your seats. Again, those five questions. Who's the speaker? Who was the writer? When was it spoken? When was it written? Okay? Where was it spoken and where? Why was it given? And then that one question that most Christians do not even ask, let alone even attempt to look at: who was the original audience who heard these words? Well, look at verse 27. The Bible gives it to you. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Well, beloved, that doesn't apply to any one of us in this room. Who were with Jesus from the very beginning? The apostles, of course, minus Judas eventually. So that tells us that what Jesus here is saying would have more direct application to his original audience. You follow? However, as a secondary application, we know that if we are truly saved, and if we are truly in Christ, and as we look at verse 26, if the Holy Spirit truly is within us, and we live our lives as Christians, and again, I'm not advocating sinless perfection, we're still frail, we still got feet of clay, we got lips of clay, I understand that. But if we're consistent in our walk with the Lord, and how we treat others and love the brethren and love the Lord and love his word, we do all those things, we will automatically be hated by the world. You will automatically be hated and ostracized by certain members of the family, certain neighbors. They won't let you borrow the saw anymore, or borrow the vacuum cleaner, or borrow the lawnmower. It may be a co-worker, it may be your boss, or it may be subordinates, because you're the boss. And they know that you're a Christian, and you're a dedicated Christian, and you're faithful. You're not plastic, okay? You're real. You are a genuine believer. You're not a phony. You're not a fake. Well, your light and your salt is going to bother them just by being in their presence. Not even passing out a tract or reading a Bible verse out loud. Just you being you, emanating the love and the light and the truth of Christ, will automatically bring enemies to your door. You don't have to go out there and make enemies. They're going to come to you. They're going to come to you, my friends. Look at that verse 18. If the world hates you. Now, would you agree that hate is a strong word? I bet there's been times where a child in a moment of anger would let loose with their tongue and say, "I hate you," to mom and dad. "I hate your rules. I hate this house." Well, hate's a strong word. Matter of fact, hatred is the seed that leads to what? Murder. First degree murder. Okay? Not accidental, but first degree premeditated murder. Hate. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So notice, the master was hated first. And then you and I, his subjects, his servants, members of his kingdom, we will also be hated. And so, beloved, again, most pastors won't even cross this bridge, because that's not going to make people happy. Okay? That's not going to make anybody happy to be told your relatives may hate you, your neighbors may hate you, all because of your Christ. But then Jesus reminds us, I was hated first. But then that verse 19, beloved, if you're truly saved here this morning and you understand to some degree what election and predestination is, the fact that God, listen, God could have had every one of Adam's children, to include you and I, cast into the lake of fire at the end of time, not save one convert, no one saved at all, but consigned the entire family of Adam to the lake of fire, he would be holy and just. Holy and just if he did that. But for that same holy God that we've offended by our stupidity and sins, for him to even condescend and begin to choose out of his enemies and his sinners and his kingdom lawbreakers, he condescends and chooses according to Ephesians 1, according to the good pleasure of his will. Why didn't he pick Esau? But he picked Jacob. But Jacob was a scoundrel. Matter of fact, Jacob stole Esau's birthright on two occasions. His name Jacob means heel catcher, supplanter, meaning the wheeler and the dealer. Jacob was no saint. My word. God chooses Abel over a Cain. Wow. And then, out of all the tribes of Israel, he chooses a boy named Joseph, who's 17 years old, who's going to spend the next 20 years as a criminal in the eyes of the Egyptians, and then overnight raised to become second to Pharaoh and save the world during 7 years of famine. That's sovereignty. God is sovereign, my dear friends. If ye were of the world would love you. Now meditate on that, friends. If we were one of them, without the Bible, without the church, without the Jesus language, without the old-fashioned hymns, if we were one of them, hobnobbing, cussing like a sailor, swearing like a sailor, talking about women as if they're nothing but property, you know, just being raunchy, nasty sinner. If you were one of them, they would wrap their arms around you and call you one of us, a friend. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, what made that distinction of being of the world and not of the world? Notice these two poles. One leads to hell, one leads to everlasting bliss and glory. What is the defining mark? What's the razor edge divide? God's sovereign choice. So we can't get a big head, can we? Well, look what I did. I believed in Jesus. Well, you believed in Jesus because God the Father first cast his gaze of love upon you, and in turn he gave you to the Son, who in turn went to the cross and died in your place. And in time, God the Holy Spirit hunted you down and brought you to the Savior. No big head. All salvation is of the Lord. All salvation, all glory and honor is to him, not to man's free will. If ye were of the world, the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore, and may I say, therefore, the world hates you. Because you are one of God's. And then he tells them, remember the word that I said unto you. So this is something that Jesus had already told them, but you know how my memory is and your memory. Sometimes our memory is about this, is actually this thick. The servant is not greater than the Lord. Would you agree? The servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now, who's he talking to? The 11. By this time, Judas has gone to do his deed, okay? He's talking to the 11. He's talking to them directly. This was given to them directly, not to you and I directly. It's written for us, but not to us, to these 11 men. They will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So your enemies, listen carefully, if somebody hates you because of you being a Christian, okay? Only in that context, if they don't like you, they don't want to be around you, my dear friends. Now this is sad, but it's also true. It's evident that on their part, they're still lost. They're still lost. Notice, because they know not him that sent me. So your enemies are demonstrating in whatever way they demonstrate that hatred. They simply ostracize you. They don't talk to you. They don't have any business or dealings with you. They just ignore you. I mean, that's easy to do. But if they become like in your face, cursing you out, getting almost, you can almost feel their breath on your face, you know, that type of anger. Either way, they're demonstrating that they're still lost, that they're not a child of God going off in this tirade. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. The Pharisees and the Sadducees who were plotting at this time to get rid of him, and now Judas was now supplying the means and the location on where to find Jesus. After Jesus said these words, he went east into the garden of Gethsemane there to seek his Father's face in prayer, while Peter, James, and John took a siesta. The other apostles were blowing Z's. He asked these three, his inner circle, to be with him in this hour of need. And the Bible says their eyes were so heavy, they simply zonked out on Jesus. He found them on several occasions, fast asleep. What? You could not watch with me for 1 hour? And then the third time, you know what Jesus told them? Sleep on. Behold, the enemy cometh. He told them to sleep. There's all different ways the world can show their hatred to you. But then look at verse 23. He that hated me hated my Father also. I want you to see that you cannot divide the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And you also include the Spirit there. You cannot, they are three separate persons, yes. But the relationship that they have, just like you two being married, you have that spiritual bond, that relationship between both of you, even though you're two separate people. You got the wife, you got the husband. They're two separate, but in God's eyes, you are now one because of a mutual connection, a relationship. And then that verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that was written in the law. Remember I taught you in Luke chapter 24, what did Jesus tell the two guys on that road to Emmaus? And then later that same day, he goes to the upper room. What did he do? Moses and the law and the prophets and the Psalms, everything concerns me, himself. Notice here, John now writing way after the fact, says, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. In Psalm 69, they hated me without a cause. And so Jesus takes that psalm, those words out of David's mouth, and attaches it to himself and says what? Those words uttered 1,000 years ago have now become a reality in me, the greater David. I say, wow. Yeah, thank you, sister. That's why I'm a Bible believer. That's why I'm a Bible believer. The Bible speaks for itself. The Bible doesn't need my help. My help is puny. I just look at the text and say, that's what it says. And then you can do a cross-reference. We can look up Psalm 69 and read it. One of David's songs. And then Jesus goes all, like the last hour, he read from Isaiah 42. Remember? And he sat down and said what to them? This day, these words have been checked off as fulfilled. And what was their response? Head for the cliff. And he simply meandered away. Wow. And then finally, excuse me, but when the Comforter, remember the Comforter? Paracles in the Greek, one who comes alongside for divine comfort, divine assistance, divine guidance. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. So notice the names of the Holy Spirit. You have Holy Spirit, you got Comforter, and then here, the Spirit of what? Truth, not error, which proceeded from the Father. He shall testify of me. And then finally, to really wrap this up, ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So who was that original audience? I wasn't there in the upper room. You weren't. But those 11 men were. So this chunk, Jesus basically puts in their lap, you're going to be hated of all men. And they're going to do all kinds of things to shut your mouth. But I will be with you. And the Paracles, the one who comes alongside, he will be with you and you as well. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.